What if church was a verb instead of a noun, a menu of real solutions for life beyond Sunday? Would you come? Rethink church at 10,000doors.org. The people of the United Methodist Church.
God is good. And all the time. Welcome to First Church. My name is Justin Griffin. I'm one of the pastors here. I'd like to wish you a happy 4th of July weekend. Anybody go out and see the fireworks last night? Just a few? Yeah, they were out there, huh? I don't know if you noticed or not, but there was a little bit of lightning going on too. And God was certainly putting on a show of his own. I think he looked at our black jackets and whatever else we had and said, please. And I mean, made it curl and just, yeah, a lot of oohs and ahs over that. Just yesterday, we had our youth return from their mission trip. They'd been gone about a week and got in about 7:30 last night. And from what I hear, none of the adults killed any of the youth. No. And so that is a successful mission trip, yeah. Would we say? Yeah. So they are all back, and some of them will probably be in the second service. Some of them will probably be in a sleeping coma for about 2 days. Who knows? It's the summertime. They might have that freedom.
In a couple weeks, they'll do their service.
On the 17th, right? On the 17th of July, they'll come in and kind of give some of their testimonies of their experiences and whatnot. So we'll definitely be looking forward to that. If you would take your bulletin and just crack open to the inside page. We've got a slew of announcements. Preschool enrollment is upon us, so be sure to look at that. Also, VBS is in about 2 weeks, and so there's, I believe, an envelope in here for that, for donations for VBS, donations for sponsoring a child. I believe there's a way that you can also sponsor a child and keep them in your prayers, and that's definitely very important because we bring in a lot of different kids that come in and do VBS who maybe aren't a part of the church and maybe not in the best situation, living situation. So those children definitely need some prayer in their life. So mm-hmm. Keep that in mind and pray about that. Also, if you would look down here where it says new worship time, I believe that will not affect the 8 o'clock service in any way. So hold on to those pitchforks, okay? Just, yeah. All right. They're waiting for that.
I'm glad they're thinking about all those people that aren't coming. See, yeah. That's what I'm glad.
Exactly.
They're thinking
yeah.
About.
Also with that, it's not just a Sunday school time push back to around 9:15, but it's also a later worship service. So in an attempt to bring in younger families in the community into our services, because yes, we're very much about feeding those spiritually that come, but we're also about bringing people in and leading those people to Christ as well. So we want to try to make that available to them as well. And also, if you would take your connection card here in the back, if you would tear that out, fill that out, drop that in the offering plate at some point, probably when the offering plate comes along would be a good opportunity. Do you have anything else?
Just one thing. As soon as Mike Shockman can move this morning after driving 11 hours yesterday or whatever it was, he is going to move the church bus up here in front. He's hoping to do that before this service is over so that all of you have an opportunity to look at it and see what your hard-earned money purchased for the church. So anyway, just know that that tool is going to be out in front for us, and it has already been made good use of by the youth, and they cleaned it up last night before they left so you could look at it this morning. So. All right.
You guys ready for a great worship service? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you for, Lord, what you've done in this country and what the Fourth represents and the freedoms that we have. And Lord, help us to recognize just the influence that we have as Americans, the freedom we have. And Lord, let that freedom empower us to just shake the nations for you and to shake our local community for you. And so Lord, as we just come into your presence in this service, let your spirit stir inside of us, and may we hear your words and listen to all that you have for us, God, and we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
And if you would stand at this time and take your hymn book out to hymn number 696, America the Beautiful.
For Kids Corner, where the kids come on down.
Sing with me.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
Yes, come on, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do.
I do. I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you?
All right.
Good morning, everyone. I am so glad to see you today. I have something with me. Can you tell me what they are? Go ahead. Crutches. You don't have to raise your hand here. You can just tell me the answer. No, they're crutches. Has anybody ever had to use crutches?
Tell me about it. What do you use crutches for? Right, when you've hurt your knee or your leg or your foot and you can't put any weight on it, and so you really only have one leg to walk on. Now, when I teach preschool, we stand on one foot and count to 10, and sometimes we hop on one foot and count to 6. And today, I tried to see how far I could get hopping on one foot, and I could hop, oh, probably about 5 or 6 feet before I lost my balance and fell down. It's very hard to get going in your life and keep on going and doing the things you need to do if you only have one leg. And so crutches can help you. Now, what I want to say to you today is, if what is broken isn't your leg, but your heart, instead of crutches, you need God. Now, what does it mean when I say you have a broken heart? You know what that means when somebody says, you just broke my heart? Well, a long time ago, do you want to answer?
Sad.
You can be very, very sad. Long time ago, people thought that your emotions came from your heart, because if you were afraid, your heart would just pound. If you were in love, your heart would just pound. If you were very sad, then it was like your heart just stopped. And so when you are sad, when you are worried, when you are anxious, people say you have a broken heart. Now, if crutches can help someone go on with a broken leg, I want to tell you that God can help you go on if you've got a broken heart. Because sometimes you get so sad, you just think, I just don't know how I can keep on going. Don't see how I can keep on doing the things I used to do and living the life I used to live because I'm so sad. Now, how can God help you if you have a broken heart? What do you think? Well, knowing that God is powerful and knowing that God loves you, that can give you hope. And if you have hope, you can keep going on until things get better. Now, I'm here to tell you that sometimes it takes a long while for things to get better. And sometimes they don't get better nearly as soon as we think we should. And we kind of lose our hope and lose our faith that God can help us. But He is always there. Now, can you think of some things that might give you a broken heart? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. One of them, well, let's say you had a very best friend, and they'd been your friend for as long as you'd been going to school, and you did everything together. You played at recess, and you had sleepovers, and then all of a sudden that person decides that they want someone else for a friend, and they kind of quit being your friend, and you're lonely. Lonely can give you a broken heart. Or maybe someone you really love, someone you really care about, is sick and you're worried about them. Worrying about them can give you a broken heart. And again, knowing that God loves you and is powerful, that can give you hope. But when the answer doesn't come right away and you start to get discouraged, that's when your church family can help you. Because the Bible says that nothing is going to happen to you that hasn't happened to somebody else out here in our church. They've been through it. They've been there and done that. And they know how to help you. You just have to ask. So if you have a broken heart, if there's something that's really bothering you, be sure you tell somebody. Be sure you tell your mom or your dad. And if they can't seem to help, ask your Sunday school teacher or Pastor Eric or Pastor Justin. You can ask me, you can ask anybody in the church. And if they don't know how to help you, they'll look till they find someone who does. Because God and your church family is a crutch Just like a crutch helps your broken leg, God and your family helps if you have a broken heart. That's one of the very best things about God and your church family. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we know that you love us. We know that you care about us. And we know that you are strong. But we know sometimes in your wisdom that the answers to our prayers can take a while. And so we ask that you would give us the hope and the faith that we need. And if our hope and faith falters, that we can depend on the rest of our church family to help us carry on and move forward, even when part of us is broken. Amen.
I ask you to look on the back of your bulletins because the prayer concerns are listed there. And I'd like you to lift up a special prayer for the veterans today, both the ones that are serving now and the ones that have served in the past, because they've provided the independence that we have in this great country. Today is a very special day. It's no need to ask for favors, for we know that everything comes when the timing is perfect. Let us thank God together. Thank you, God, for giving us another day, another chance to become a better individual, another chance to give and experience love. Thank you, God, for giving us health, for the food you provide, for the awareness you have awakened in us. Thank you for the energy that feeds our souls, the sun that warms our bodies, and the air that fills our lungs. Because of you, we believe in the good without the bad or the ugly. Because of you, we are learning to love and accept ourselves. Because of you, we are believing in believing. Our source, stay connected to us today and always, for we need you in order to fulfill our spiritual task. God, show us how to love ourselves to be able to love others. Help us to become the type of person that we would like to befriend. Help us to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. God, make us a channel of your energy and help us understand. We thank you, God, for giving us another day, another unused opportunity to do right and to keep us close to you and to listen to all our prayers. In your son's name, amen. Amen.
If you would turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Who wrote Revelation? Who can tell me? John, right? John, yeah. Not John Boyce. Right? Thank God, right? No. No, the Apostle John wrote John. Not John the Baptist, but the Apostle John is one of the few disciples that lived a very long life. A lot of the disciples were killed or beheaded or crucified for proclaiming Christ, but John was actually one of the few that lived a very long life, long time. He actually wrote this towards the end of his life, but when you have Revelation chapter 3, if you would, hold your place and stand, and whether your Bible's on your Nook, your Kindle, your phone, I know this 8 o'clock bunch is a techie group, so if you would, raise your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge. This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We do not have the scriptures on the screen, but I'll read from my text. This is an ESV, chapter 3, starting in verse 14, to the church at Laodicea. Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Justin. Mm-hmm. Please be seated. Please keep those Bibles handy today, okay? Back whenever I was in seminary many moons ago, Justin, a seminary professor told me that where he went to seminary, there was no gymnasium on the campus, so he played basketball in a nearby public school. The janitor was an old African-American with white hair, and he would wait patiently until the seminarians had finished playing basketball. He said invariably he sat there reading his Bible. One day the seminarian went up to him and inquired, who the seminarian was now my professor, what are you reading? And the man did not reply the Bible. Instead, he answered the book of Revelation. With a bit of surprise, I asked, the book of Revelation? Do you understand it? Oh, yes, the man assured him. I understand it. You understand, he's thinking, you know, a janitor. You understand the book of Revelation. What does it mean? Very quietly, the old janitor answered, it means that Jesus is going to win. Jesus is going to win. You know, as I was away these last couple weeks, well, not last week, but the 2 weeks before that, it allowed me some time to think, and we were, of course, in a place where it allowed some focus and clarification as well, and I guess I was thinking about this church a lot, and I know I'm going to get in trouble by some of you for thinking about the church while I was on vacation, but it's kind of the way it is, and one question, I have a couple questions for you all this morning. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Fellowship? Worship God? To feed our soul. What is it about First Church that brings you to this particular place? Friendly church? Although that does my heart well, Randy. That's not quite where I was going, but thank you anyway. He says that even after hanging out with my wife for a week on a mission trip. Or maybe that's why. I get it now. Epiphany, it just came to me. Well, you know, as we think about these, and I like your answers, but you know, we're talking to a lot of different people here, and what makes a church any different than, say, a parent-teacher organization or a local Rotary Club? What makes a church different from those organizations? Okay, what? Focus on God. Someone back here said something. Taught God's word, okay. So how does, when you talk about God, or I translate that to Jesus, is that fair to everyone? How does believing and being taught about God or Jesus being God's son make us different than those other organizations? How does that make us different? How does the knowledge of Christ's death and resurrection make us different? Gives us hope. Say it one more time. Gives us a charge. Okay, so think about those things and your responses to that as we proceed this morning. Let's take a look at this church at Laodicea. Okay, so the church of which John wrote to in this particular part of the book of Revelation, which, by the way, it's the book of Revelation. It's not Revelations, all right? It's the book of Revelation. And when it was a very, very rich city. When the city was destroyed by an earthquake some 35 years before John's writing, the people that lived there refused imperial aid and rebuilt their destroyed buildings out of the city's own resources. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? In the year 100, just a few years after John's vision and messages, another earthquake destroyed Laodicea. Once again, and the city was rebuilt without outside help. The city had many sources of wealth. The top three were banking, a product known as Phrygian powder, from which a medicinal eye salve was made, and a shiny black wool from which luxurious black apparel was made. All right, so keep this in mind. The first was banking. The second was, I believe I'm pronouncing it right, it's Phrygian powder, from which a medicinal eye salve was made, and a shiny black wool from which luxurious black apparel was made. Their one shortcoming was water. A few miles away to the north, famous for its hot medicinal mineral water, that was piped, believe it or not, this is biblical days now, that was piped down to Laodicea. But by the time it made it to Laodicea, it was tepid, it was lukewarm, and the mineral content made the water nauseating. Are you following me so far? So, other than water, it appears that the city and church had no problems whatsoever. Well, maybe earthquakes, but they were able to rebuild. And they are rich enough to buy the water that they need. So let's see what Christ in the book of Revelation has to say to the church in Laodicea. So turn with me, book of Revelation, chapter 3. Let's begin with verse 14. Keep all these things in mind. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the origin of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, what else is lukewarm? Their water, yes. And so because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Some versions literally say, throw you up out of my mouth, or spew you out of my mouth. So, you see, they understand personally this idea about being lukewarm because of their water situation. And lukewarm means tepid or indifferent or half-hearted, unenthusiastic, uninterested, uncommitted, undecided. And let me ask you this morning, could Jesus Christ accuse any of us of being lukewarm about Christ and the ministries of this church today? So yes, Christ is talking about this church in Laodicea, right? He is using, as Jesus does very well, a great metaphor for the church. They understand exactly what it is. They understand that, like, when they drink that water, it makes them, that natural urge just to vomit comes up. And they're saying, and Jesus is saying to the church, you are lukewarm. You are tepid. You make me want to vomit you out of my mouth. Right? So, I mean, they understood. Boy, that was right there. They were very clear about what that feels like. And so as I am thinking about this, could Jesus Christ accuse any of us, any one of us here today, of being lukewarm about Christ, about the ministries of this church? Could any one of us be at a point in our life where Jesus wants to throw us up out of his mouth? Revelation 3:17. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Now let's think about this. The rich baking city is wretched, pitiable, and poor. The city that makes eye salve for the blind. Do you hear the metaphor that is being used here? The city that makes this the only place you can find this eye salve for the blind, and yet they're being accused of being what? Blind. Yes. The city that is known for this shiny black wool is accused of being what? Naked. How interesting is this, man? I mean, what does the Spirit say to these folks? Now, you could say, you know, is this John just being good with words? Or is it actually God putting words in John's mouth, speaking to this church? And speaking to us. Revelation 3:18, therefore, Christ says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. You know the old Refiner's Fire song, right? So that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see, the Spirit says that the solution for Christians in Laodicea is to quit trusting on these things that have made them rich, or on their own resources and wealth, or on their fine wool and their famous salve, and to buy from me, God, gold refined by fire, so that you may be truly rich, and white robes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. You know, as I was thinking about this, the very things that this city is known for, you might say the very things that this city is gifted with, right? Is the thorn in their side, isn't it? What is it in First Church? What is our gift? Because of you, right? The church is who? The church isn't what, right? The church is who? The people, right? We have 500 people who are members of this church. 500. Now, all of them expect a pastor and a church to be here, especially during marriage and funerals, especially when cancer hits their family. They don't seem to call when they hit the jackpot, but whenever cancer hits their family, boy, they expect the church to be there, right? They haven't paid a cent to that church for years, haven't shown physical body in that church for years, but boy, we better be here, hadn't we? 500 people in this church. Boy, think if all 500 of those people tithed. Think of the ministries this church could do. We wouldn't have to beg for bus, would we? Think if 500 of those people gave 10% of their time to this church. Can you imagine the ministries this church could do in this community? Can you imagine the disciples for Jesus Christ that could be made in this community? Shoot, as far as that's concerned, I would be happy with the almost 300 of you that worship on Sunday morning. If those 300 or 250 or 80, whatever it is, would tithe and give their time, man, that would be awesome. Instead of 10 or 20% given 100% of the time of the church. What is our gifts that have become our thorn? What is the gifts of this church, each one of us? What are the gifts? What is the gift of mine that has become a thorn for me and this church? You hear what I'm saying this morning? Actually, I can't take credit for this at all. This has nothing to do with me. What is the gift that you have that has become a thorn in the side of this church? And if Jesus were writing to us today, would say, you know what? You're lukewarm, and it makes me want to throw you up out of my mouth. Revelation 3, 19 through 22. Jesus says, I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen. Now, you've seen this picture, so you can picture this in your mind's eye. Jesus is standing at the door in the garden. They make it appear like a garden in the pictures I've seen, right? Jesus is standing at this door, and he's ready to knock. Everybody know the picture I'm talking about? I think we have one downstairs, as a matter of fact. Well, if you look real closely, there's no doorknob on the outside of that door. Why do you think that's the case? That's right. He doesn't force himself in. What does he depend upon? We have to open the door, don't we? All right. Jesus says, listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne. Now, conquers, does that mean like conquer as in war? No, that's the war of the heart, isn't it? He's talking about the war of the heart. Those who conquer, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches, folks. What is the Spirit saying to First Church today? So I think I hear you saying this morning, Eric, what does this have to do with me? Well, that means you're not listening, because I already asked you that question, right? Many of us, I mean, honestly, right? Honestly, all of us are lukewarm at certain points. I mean, sometimes you just get out of bed and, man, you just don't feel good. Anybody ever had a day like that? And sometimes, quite honestly, I'm being honest here, it feels good to be lukewarm, doesn't it? Honestly. When you're not feeling the best, maybe you're a little depressed, whatever it is, you need someone to stick their spirit into yours and say, here's some energy for you, right? All of us are lukewarm, so at some point or another. So I'm not preaching in that regard this morning, but what I understand God talking about is when we have been lukewarm for years. And for many of us, this is probably to the choir, so to speak. But honestly, many of us sitting here today have been lukewarm towards this congregation and toward the body of Christ for years. And Jesus is just about to spew us out of his mouth. We are lukewarm to activities in this church. We are lukewarm to actually being a Christian. We are lukewarm to being Christians among our family members, in Bible study, if that exists in our life, in prayer, if that exists in our life, and devotion to God, if that exists in our life. We are lukewarm to being Christians in this world. We are lukewarm to what it means to have Christ in our lives. You know what happens when you boil water and you let it keep simmering on the stove? Has anyone ever done that? And it simmers down, right? The water leaves, but minerals remain, don't they? And something you probably don't want to know, that last drop of water is considered heavy water. It actually has 3 hydrogens on it. That's, sorry, a chemist talking there. But anyway, the water leaves, but the minerals become more and more concentrated as that water leaves. Sometimes it turns brown and it tastes like salt water or brackish water. When we live our daily lives without devotion to God, we fail to get refreshed with God's Spirit, and the minerals become thick within us, and we begin to taste gross to God. And Jesus tells us today that He is about to spew us out of His mouth. But it's important that we see that it doesn't end there. Jesus counsels us not to depend on ourselves. Amen? In verse 18, Jesus says, "Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see." Listen, a certain man loved birds, and he went through a forest looking for unique birds and that he could take home. Now, he happened to run across an eagle's nest, and he caught a newly hatched eagle. He brought it home, and he put it among the fowl and ducks and turkeys and gave it chicken food to eat, though it was an eagle. 5 years later, a naturalist came to see him, and after passing through his garden, he said, "That bird is an eagle, not a chicken." "Yes," said the owner, "but I have trained it to be a chicken. It is no longer an eagle. It is a chicken, even though it measures 15 feet from tip to tip of its wings." "No," said the naturalist, "it is still an eagle. It has the heart of an eagle, and I will make it soar up to the heavens." "No," said the owner, "it's a chicken, and it will never fly." They agreed to a test. The naturalist picked up the eagle, held it up, and said with great intensity, "Eagle, you are an eagle. You belong to the sky and not to this earth. Stretch your wings and fly away." And the eagle turned this way and that way and looked down to his chicken friends and saw the chickens pecking at the ground, eating their food, and he jumped down. And the owner said, "I told you it was a chicken." "No," said the naturalist, "it is an eagle. Give it another chance tomorrow." So the next day, he took it up to the top of the house and said, "Eagle, you are an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly." But the eagle, once again seeing the chickens feeding, jumped down and fed with them. And the owner said, "I told you it was a chicken." The next morning, the naturalist rose early and took the eagle outside of town and away from the houses and the other chickens, to the foot of a high mountain, and the sun was just rising, decorating the top of the mountain with gold, and every precipice of the mountain face was glistening in the joy of the beautiful morning. He picked up the eagle and said to it, "Eagle, you are an eagle. You belong to the sky and not to the earth. Stretch your wings and fly." The eagle looked around and trembled as if new life were coming to it, yet it did not fly. And the naturalist then made it look straight at the sun. Suddenly it stretched its wings, and with a screech of an eagle, it mounted higher and higher and never returned. You see, it was an eagle. though it had been kept and tamed as a chicken. Folks, we have been created in the image of God. You, me, you have been created in the image of God. John, you've been created in the image of God. Charlie, you've been created in the image of God. You understand where I'm going with that? You have been created in the image of God, and this church ordained by the risen Christ. But people have made us think that we are chickens. And the really sad part is that we've bought in to the lie. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? What I understand God saying today, folks, stretch forth your wings and fly. For you are an eagle, not a chicken. This church has such awesome possibilities. We need to catch the wave of God's Spirit, but it takes each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. No one can be along for the ride, and this church has many, many onlookers that celebrate with us when we celebrate, and for some reason disappear when we have issues. Do you know of anybody like that in your own life? No one can be along for the ride. Each one of us has to be willing to participate. What a better morning to start again than today as we receive Holy Communion. As we receive the meal that Jesus set for us, not only in a literal sense with the Last Supper, but through his life, his death, and his resurrection. You see, Jesus asks us to come forward, to repent, to take communion. If you would like to spend some time here, praise God. But then Jesus says, you know, repenting is to go in a new direction, to go toward God, to turn from whatever direction you are going and make a turn toward God. That is what repentance is about. And Jesus tells us literally to buy from him the gold that's refined by his fire. Don't be lukewarm. I beg you. We need piping hot people to make disciples of Jesus Christ in this community. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise this day. It is an honor to be a part of this church. It is an honor to see the potential that is here, Lord, through your eyes. And we ask, God, that we look in the mirror, that we look deep within ourselves, that we understand if we are people who have been lukewarm, and that we ramp up the heat, that we focus our lives on you, God. In Jesus' holy name, amen. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Holy Communion this morning, I invite you to turn to Fill My Cup, Lord. It's number 641. Let's sing it twice.
This thirsting of my soul, but I've never.
right, if you would please stand for us as we sing our opening songs of praise, and we'll begin with Mighty to Save.
Last night, I watched my daughter sleeping, smelling of soap and tangle-free shampoo, and suddenly the responsibility of preparing that little human being for the world was overwhelming. I'm 36 and single, and I'm strong. That's why I'm here.
If you're searching for something to believe in, for your children to believe in, our hearts, our minds, and our doors are always open. The people of the United Methodist Church.